Hello, I'm Bo Coates.
And I'm Lacey Paxton, and together we are Garage to Main Street.
Lacey, how's it going today?
Oh, you know, week 922 of pandemic is just stellar. I just told you earlier that I don't really know what day of the week it is ever. Mm-hmm. So forgive us that we are not great at letting you know each week when our podcast hits your platforms. That is because I think Saturdays are Mondays and Tuesdays are Saturdays. And
Lacey basically needs a manager in her life to manage her and tell her what to do.
I need a mommy. Can somebody come mommy me, please?
I feel you right now. It's been crazy. Usually Monday by 11 a.m. I'm like, is it Friday yet? Because the week's been long.
Yeah, I know. It's been incredible. And now with back to school and everything, it's just getting even crazier. My daughter starts high school on Monday. They got their schedules yesterday. When I told Bill about it, he's like, why didn't they just email them? Because it was really a drive-by pickup. I was like, that. Thank you,
Bill. I'm really smart. I could do this, like, managing higher education, maybe not higher education, high school. Is that considered school higher education?
I'm going to consider it higher education right now.
The way my brain's working right now, any education is higher education.
Right. Yes. And so the whole hour I sat in line for the schedule, all I could think about is that Bill was right.
Email this out. Let's not drive and make people inconvenienced.
Yes. And so did that. And now we're just ready for Monday, I guess. Now I got to remember that Monday's Monday because
Off kids.
I had to drop off two kids on Monday. And
well, maybe life will be a little bit back to normal that now that you have the opportunity to not have children at home.
Yes. So I'm excited. I mean, I'm ready. I know that Madison's was able to go to daycare majority of the time during this. And so just know that you're blessed.
We had a week with her and I love her to death, but here at the end of the day, you cannot get very much stuff done with at that point, it was less than a 9 month old at home. She's very needy as far as attention goes, which is fine. Just not when you're trying to work.
I know. You are like the novelty. You are the new toy, Dad.
So. I know. And the funny thing is it's not just us that are stressed out. She was stressed out because mom and dad are boring.
Well, you know, I mean, we got Aniston, our youngest, a keyboard so that she could sit next to me and like pretend to be doing something because I'm not giving her a computer because she's two. But that would like contain her for like 15 minutes while I typed an email. I'm like, okay, we're going to do an email. And so, but
we tried to put on TV shows for Madison and it worked for all of 5 minutes. And then she was like, this is stupid. Let's do something. Let's do anything else.
Anything else. Yeah. So parenting is not for the faint at heart. Parenting during a pandemic is, it's like Jumanji.
I'm hoping that we can wrap this pandemic up here shortly. I don't know what the requirements are. I don't know who the guy that waves the white flag and says we're done is, but hopefully we can get this sucker wrapped up and
I'm ready. I need to go get my driver's license.
My wife had to do the same thing.
Yeah. I have a letter from the state that says, hey, you don't have to get it for 90 days after the pandemic. And I've had to show it twice.
You might have a tough time. Well, maybe not by going to the liquor store.
Oh crap. I'm supposed to go. We have friends coming in this weekend from Lubbock and I needed to go to the liquor store to pick up some beverages. So I might have to send my husband. Dadgummit. I didn't even think about that. Bill, I look old though. Maybe they won't ask for my ID.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I've been a time or two and they don't even card me. And I'm like, how do you get away with that when I'm wearing a mask?
I'm telling
maybe
you.
I just have old eyes. My old droopy eyes are the reason I don't get carded anymore.
I think it's because of what you're buying. You're not buying like Boone's Farm wine or something like for dirt cheap. You buy the good stuff. That's how they know. They're like, you are clearly not a teenager.
You're old enough. You're rich enough.
You're buying that You're good.
You're at the $7 bottle versus the $2
bottle. So sad. Oh, and we have digressed. Clearly it's early. So today what we have on Slate to talk about is just a big overview of many agencies and people that are out there to help you start your business. And so we're going to kind of go over them big picture. And our plan is for the next few weeks to then have one of them come on each week and really kind of dive into what they do, how they do what they do, why they do what they do, and just become just a wealth of information and hopefully an advocate and an ally for you in your adventures in going from garage to Main Street.
And the interesting part about it is these are things that are mostly for you. I mean, the more you get into them, they sometimes do charge you. I know that we also talked about like the SBA, or we're going to talk about like the SBA. And while they have a lot of free resources, they also help small business lending. And obviously small business lending of any sort is not free. So these are, like Lacey said, mostly free. They're just good places to get information. But you don't have to necessarily use them. I know when I started one of my businesses, I did not use any of these. I went to a CPA, which may be a little bit more expensive route. But nonetheless, they're out there for you.
Absolutely. So that first one that you just mentioned, SBA, which is the U.S. Small Business Administration, this is what they do. It's in their name. They love to help small business owners succeed, which is why they were started like in the 1950s, I think. So if you even just Google them, it says, "We support America's small businesses. The SBA connects entrepreneurs with lenders and funds to help them plan, start, and grow their business." So if you go to their website, that is what you can expect to find. Business plan templates, because we don't love business plans, but they're very helpful for a lender to see what's going on.
That's exactly right. You don't necessarily have to put together a business plan to start your business. That's it's not a need, but when you go to get financing, if you need financing, and we always recommend, both Lacey and I, to try and take on as much without taking on debt as possible. It just reduces the risk of your business failing, and gives you so much more flexibility. For instance, with my coffee business that I recently sold, we had zero debt going into the pandemic. And we actually operated without debt for many, many years. We only took on a little bit once to help get our roaster, which is a very large piece of equipment.
Dave Ramsey, thanks you.
Right. And the benefit to it is when we went into the pandemic and we decided, hey, the coffee business is not really what we want to be in. Me and my wife made that decision. We had the flexibility to cease operations before we sold the business because we didn't owe anybody any money. And that's the flexibility that, you know, your business may be a great idea today, but think 5 years down the line. Can you predict what happens 5 years down the line? Absolutely not. There may be a pandemic.
I mean, and you have to get creative sometimes, but if you can't get creative and you need to stop operations, even just for a season, because like a bar, you can't go in a bar in Texas right now. I don't know where you're listening from, but let me just tell you, Texans without bars equals really cranky people, and you can't go in them. So those people have had to get very, very creative with how they can keep their businesses making money so that they can keep their space. And so the less debt you have, the better off you'd be.
Right. And say for a bar, if they own the building or not, you know, they're going to have rent that they have to pay for. If they do own the building outright, they're still going to have taxes to pay for. So they've got liabilities on there, and having the flexibility of not having less debt on the business just makes it that much easier to survive the unknowns, like a pandemic or
who knew.
I grew up in Houston. Hurricanes were a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know, a very localized disaster, but very, very impactful, and it makes a big difference for businesses. So having a business plan helps you, again, write out your goals. Obviously, it's good to write out your goals, but write out your goals in a concise manner, figure out, and helps you really think through who your target audience is going to be. And the point of that being is when you go to get financing from a bank, you can take this to them and go, this is my business plan. This is my financial projections. These are the people that I'm going to sell to. This is how the business is generally going to operate. And they can look it over and go, hey, we think this is worth investing in or lending money to. So from there, I'm just going to jump ahead. Sorry. The Small Business Association has a 10-step program to help start your business. It talks about how to manage your business. After your business plan, you'll want to get funding for it, most likely. If you're starting, say, a restaurant or a bar, those are very capital intensive operations, and you're going to need some funds to help get those off the ground. They can help you figure out where you need to have your business located. Honestly, the Small Business Association probably isn't the best for that. Bill or Lacey is the best place, best person to help you find a location for your business. And what we'll do is we'll really just sit down with you and understand what your target audience is, what your needs are. In fact, I've got a meeting later today with a client, and we're looking for space for them. And the meeting is just purely focused on what are the needs of your business and how can we help you get and achieve those goals in the most, in the best manner possible. From there, you choose a business structure. If that's a LLC, S Corp, C Corp, limited partnership, honestly, a CPA is probably the best person to help you decide that, or a tax attorney. But those professionals are expensive. You also get what you pay for, so keep that in mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We only have rental properties, and I guess my husband always has some sort of side hustle hustle going, and we use a CPA every year. I used to refuse to use one when I was a single lady because I could do it myself. I mean, Beyonce and, they had me be feeling very independent in my young years. And I look back and I'm like, gosh darn, I probably wasted a lot of money not using a CPA. So,
well, and a lot of time too, because it's a lot to figure out and it's very confusing. We picked up a CPA 6 or 7 years ago, me and my wife did. And having them has made tax season so much easier. I don't have, even going, especially as you get more, your finances get more complicated since you are a business owner. Going through the free online programs, the TurboTaxes, that's great, but it doesn't explain things in a manner, and you just don't want that liability. I mean, absolutely. Let's be honest.
Hands down. So I'm going to give a little pro tip right here for anybody who listens to this. I don't care if you're a business owner or not. We have a binder in our house, and it rotates every year as far as, like, this year it's 2020 taxes. And I have these envelopes in it, and anytime we have a receipt, a write-off, a donation receipt, anything, we just walk over and drop it in the envelope, in the binder, and keep everything there. So when January 1 happens of 2021, it's not going to be very full this year because we've done nothing. We're going to just open it up and we just pack it all up and send it over to the CPA. It has been a game changer. We started doing it 3 years ago, and it is so nice not to have to be like, okay, where did we put this stuff for the properties? Where do we put this stuff for donations? So anything you can do to make your life easier on the front end, just do it.
And I'm glad you said that.
Life hacks.
Yeah, so we have folders in our office as well. Just again, same thing, to put the receipts in, and we just take a almost a box of documents to our CPA that are relatively well organized. And honestly, the more organized you can be for your CPA, the cheaper they are because they spend less time on it. Keep that in mind as well. And it's been a godsend. Our CPAs love us because they've got everything there. It's so easy to find. They're like, you guys are perfect. So
yes, yes. Golden children over here. So yes, I will always provide life hacks when I have them. I don't have many. I like to do things the hard way. So there's that.
Moving on through the 10-step program that the SBA has for you, you got to choose your business name. This is not nearly as easy as it sounds. me and one of my partners just started a business, and we went through down about 1,000 names for the business, and we were just like, blah 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 company, and it was already taken. So there's a lot. So
hey, that's, you should know. So you should know, Bill. Remember when you started your coffee company?
I know. When I started my coffee company, I'm like, what are things that I like? Oh, I like guns. Gun coffee. Oh, it's already taken. And yeah, it just
rifle coffee. Well, crap.
Yeah, like literally every idea I had was taken. It was the most frustrating thing ever, but that is what it is. It goes into registering your business, getting your EIN, which is federal and state tax IDs for your business. It's kind of like the Social Security number for your business. And then the SBA will help you apply for licenses and permits. And then they kind of walk you through how to open a business bank account. So that's kind of the steps that the SBA lays out for you. They also have funding programs. It can help
even you. During the pandemic, they were a great resource for those business owners who needed to apply for, you know, some funding to try to survive this. Gosh, March, April, May, June, July, this last 6 months, man, it has been the slowest 6 months and the fastest 6 months, like mm-hmm. all in its own right.
I need a vacation.
We talked about that. We have friends going to Mexico in September, and I was like, we should just go. My husband's like, we will die. Like, that's our luck. Like, we will just die. I'm like, well.
It's stuck there, yeah.
At least we'll have fun.
The SBA also has deals where they can help you get federal contracts. Again, just a lot of good information there. Moving on, what's next,
Lacey? So the next type of person, ally, somebody you want in your corner, however you want to say it, would be an economic development corporation. Most of those are going to be associated with the city in which you are wanting to open your business in. I will say, if you're in a metroplex like San Antonio, make sure you know where you are so that you know which one to approach, because you can think that you're in Converse and you're in Universal City or whatever, and that's any just big city. But what their mission is really is to bring business into their area and provide strategic economic growth, and try to make things come to their city that are going to make that city more appealing for people to come and visit. So make it a destination location. Like think Six Flags, like, oh my gosh, when Six Flags opened, like everybody flocked to the city that Six Flags was in. And so I'm sure they got a ton of assistance from the economic development of whichever city, San Antonio, Dallas, whatever. So that is the next one. And Bill, you had a client along the way, if I do recall, that had a pretty interesting experience with an economic development corp.
Yeah, so economic development corporations are very interesting. In larger cities, they are much like San Antonio proper. They are very focused on getting ginormous businesses into the city. They want to get massive employers. However, in smaller municipalities like a Converse or like a Live Oak,
Kerrville,
Kerrville, they are really focused on getting any business activity that they can. And they'll, you know, if you're a larger business, they will, you know, bend over backwards for you. Whereas in a kind of a bigger city, they're not really as flexible. I had a client once that, we found a space for them, and this economic development corporation had a program to promote small businesses. And in this program, they gave, I think it was a rebate of like $3,000 off of a sign. So I don't know if you guys know this, but the channel lettering signs that are required by most shopping centers are extremely expensive.
Make you have heartburn.
$7,000 to $12,000 for something that's really, most people would not say is over the top. It's just pretty standard and boring. So $7,000 to $12,000 obviously is a large expense, and it's required to have a sign by the shopping center owner. This economic development corporation actually gave a rebate of $3,000 off the price of the sign because they wanted to have the city looked nice. And so that was a huge benefit to the group that was going into their small mom and pop business. And it really helped them cut down on some of their costs that were associated with getting into a new space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I am sitting here on, I live in Kerrville, Texas, which if you don't know anything about Kerrville, small town, 25,000 people, just kind of, it's growing, so that's exciting. But they have on their economic development website, they have a wealth of information as far as what plans are out there, what programs rolled out for restaurants, for bartenders, for small business owners, for big business owners during the pandemic. They also have places to help you learn how to market your company and other, you know, people in our town that have opportunities for you to do that. And they really like connect people with people and really help in that way. Also, once you're up and running, most cities will have programs like we do 40 under 40 here in Kerrville, where it recognizes 40 business minded people each year that have been good to the community. Getting in with those 40 people, find the list, is a great way to grow your business. So there's a wealth of information in any city that you're in on that website. And hopefully in the weeks to come, whenever we have an economic development agency person on, they will be able to just really kind of dive in. They're all not the same, but they're all kind of the same. So and the next agency is going to be your local chamber of commerce. Again, yeah. Make sure you go to the right one.
Right. So, and in larger cities, there are a lot of times there are multiple chamber of commerce. So I know in San Antonio, there are 4 or 5 at least. And they vary in size and they vary in what they focus on. I'm actually a part of the Chamber of Commerce, the North Central Chamber of Commerce. And they have a lot of mixers, which is great for meeting other business owners, connecting.
And playing tricks on other agents in your office.
That's a story for a different day. but yes, there may have been a prank at one point at Foresight that I played on somebody from a mixer. Again, story for a different day. So they're great for connecting with other businesses, especially if your business is focused on business to business relationships, but also connecting small business owners with lenders. There's a lot of banks that go there. Wealth managers go there, and contractors as well. So really it's a great way to connect with people that you just typically wouldn't run into on the street.
Right. And so that's really their main purpose, is just to serve and advocate for businesses in a certain area or an industry. So They'll all be slightly different, but there is a national chamber of commerce. There's a state chamber of commerce for whatever state you're in. And then, there will be those smaller ones. Typically, I mean, there is a fee to join. I don't know what your fee was, Bill, but I would say somewhere in the, well, for full memberships, if it's like a big business, $300 to $400. But you increase your credibility by being a part of a chamber of commerce because they can Google your name and they find you on something other than the website you made in your, kitchen table. So you're going to be on there. They typically get discounts and on things because they consider you what an organization. I know back home in Lubbock, small business owners were able to buy their health insurance for their companies when Obamacare came out. They did a coalition, I don't know what you'd call it, like a co-op or whatever, through the chamber. And if you were a member, you could do your health insurance for your employees through there. And it became much more cost efficient for everybody. Sometimes you'll get payroll services at a cheaper rate because they're also a member of the chamber and they believe in the chamber and what it does. And then also, those great networking things that you talked about. Some chambers will have professional development. They will have a lunch and learn on how to be on LinkedIn and do it professionally or whatever. So yes. So I am a huge advocate of the Chamber of Commerce and pretty much anywhere I've lived, which has only been two places. So whatever. It's fine. Oh. They both have great chamber of commerces, so that's great. But I mean, dadgummit.
In all two places, they're great.
Yeah,
But
well.
they're like you said, Lacey, there are some good ones and there are some ones that are not nearly as active. You just want to make sure that whatever chamber you get involved with is the most active one, has the most benefits, and don't be afraid to interview them. Say, hey, because you pay to be in a chamber. I am, committing X amount of dollars for my business to be in here. What services, what do you as a chamber have to offer me? And before I joined the chamber, I interviewed them and said, what benefit is there to me to join this chamber? And they went through the list and I felt like it was a good value, and so I joined.
Absolutely, and that's just. That's with anything. I will say this, another life hack or pro tip or whatever, anything that you have to have for your business. If you have to have a payroll agency, interview them. Make sure that you go with the one that makes the most dollars and cents for you. An advertising agency, interview them. Anybody that you have to partner with to make your business successful. Interview them because the last thing you want to, or I guess what have I been saying in the last couple of weeks? You don't know what you don't know,
Yep.
and you don't know unless you ask.
That's right.
I didn't know I wanted a minivan, but now I do. So it's fine. It's all good. And then the last agency, I guess, if you do you have anything else to say about the chamber?
No, I think
Okay.
they're great.
Sorry, I just like totally like whoosh, my coffee kicked in. Is the Better Business Bureau. That's somebody that you just want to be on good terms with because it's an old school agency, but people have no shame in their game in complaining to the Better Business Bureau about you. And the more you are connected with them and have a good rapport with them, they can advocate for you if somebody says, oh, Bill built me a building and it fell over during an earthquake. When the ground completely cracked because it was on a fault line and it's Bill's fault. Well, no, not really Bill's fault.
No, not at all. But yes, the Better Business Bureau is a great one to be associated with. It helps you gain notoriety and credibility for your business, especially out from the get-go. And as I think we've talked about in the past, getting started on your business is one of the hardest things. Having credibility and notoriety is extremely important because people don't want to spend their money with somebody that is very flaky and isn't going to deliver. And when I first got started with the coffee business, I ended up offering just a ton of discounts to get sales. And really, it was not beneficial for me at all. And one of my mentors said, stop giving your product away for free. And so I slowly started cutting back on the amount of discounts. And in, you know, the last 2 years or 2 years, we started cutting back drastically in year two, year three. And the last few years, we've almost given no discounts. Right. And we made more money than we did. And we sold, I mean, yes, we sold more products that our business grew, but we made significantly more income on, you know, a less amount of product. And so,
right.
And, you know, that may be one way to get started, but discounts don't pay off in the long term. And if you can show that value to your clients and customers, you're going to get a lot further down the road.
Absolutely. And I'll say I worked in James Avery Jewelry's, real estate department when we moved to the Hill Country, and they're silver. That's pretty much all they do is silver. And I had asked, I was like, it's so weird. Like, I never see like a clearance sale or anything. And somebody looked at me like that was like a bad word. And I was like, what are you? Sorry, my bad. Like, if it doesn't sell, we melt it back down and make it something else. It's pure silver. We have our manufacturing plants and we'll just melt it down and try again. I'm like, oh.
That's genius.
Okay. Like, I mean, their manufacturing is just out of this world. Like, somebody was like Einstein when they did it. So, I did not have a hand in designing that, but that's okay. But I thought that was a really cool thing. Like, oh, well, we don't ever do that. I'm like, that's very arrogant. No, it's not. It's cheaper to just melt it down and do something else with it than sell it off at a discount, because silver is expensive.
It's really funny. Taco Bell does the same thing. They don't melt down their tacos, but think about it. Taco Bell sells the same items packaged differently. Like, if you get a taco, all it is a tortilla that's fried, you know, a corn tortilla that's fried. If that doesn't sell, they'll sell you nachos, which has the same ingredients. And what are nacho chips? Just corn tortillas cut up. Like,
that's hilarious. I've never thought about that, Bill, ever.
They have like 10 items that they sell packaged differently.
In like 50 ways.
They're really, really, really good at it. That's one of the things. Yeah. That's one of the things that makes them really unique as a business, is they just repackage.
They just send it in a different vessel. That's it.
You're exactly right. It is. You've got tortillas, lettuce, cheese, tomatoes. That's it.
And some ground beef or some chicken or something.
Yeah, some ground beef, ground chicken. Yeah. And it works out well.
So for those of you who have listened to this podcast for this pandemic season, we've had Chad Knibbe, who is from our office, on one day. That is his very favorite place to eat on earth. Like, that's where he likes to go. So for his birthday, I think that Bethany like, I'll take you to Taco Bell, which is funny because, like, I like I like nice food on my birthday.
If you didn't listen
to that episode, there are some funny stories in there. One with a carrier pigeon. So go back and listen if you didn't already do so. It's very fun.
You're right. Yeah. We like to pick fun at him because we're like, all right, Chad, where do you want to go to lunch? And he's like, Taco Bell. And we're like, no,
you don't get to pick. Sorry. We forget that you're a terrible picker at lunch. It's fine. I mean, here where I like down here, people like Taco Casa and I'm like, that's terrible. I'm from West Texas. We have our own like mom and pop fast cash chains of Mexican food, and I go home and that's my first stop. Like, I get to Lubbock and I'm like, it's 10:30. We got 30 minutes to get to Taco Villa. And so it's just a regional thing. It's all good.
That's hilarious. So that pretty much covers all of the government provided resources for starting your business. There's a lot of other podcasts that you can listen to. Why would you want to listen to another podcast other than this one? There's a lot of other business starting resources out there, but you do have to pay for them. They're not always free. So we tried to get you guys the cheapest, freest, most available resources available. I don't think that made any sense.
What we're trying to do is take that information that you would get from a paid podcast and put it into a free podcast so that you don't have to go spend money on something that you can get for free, especially while you're starting a business. Because at that point, it's like a no spend zone. Like it is like, you know, feast or famine. So we know that we've started businesses. We work for free sometimes. So we get it. Unfortunately.
Right. Awesome. Well, anything else you wanted to talk about before we wrap this one up?
The only thing I will say is we always release on Tuesdays, even if I forget to mention it. Sorry, I'm going to get better next week, I promise. We are on social media. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Anchor, all the major platforms, I think. At this
Google
point.
Podcasts. Yes, we're Google on all podcasts, the major ones.
All of the major ones. And if you find us on there, like us with like the 5 stars, the most you can. If you can do 10, that's even cooler. Like, listen, share, subscribe, and we will appreciate every bit of that because this is fun for us, but we also want it to be good for you guys. So
and helpful for other people. So absolutely. The more people that like us, the easier it is for them to find us.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, that wraps up today's episode of Garage to Main Street, and we'll see you guys next time.